But at this time, I want to introduce our next speaker. He has been involved in the banking business since 1981. In 1998, he became a co-founder of EverBank.com, a national direct-to-consumer bank, which was acquired by EverBank Financial in 2004. From 1998 through the sale of EverBank Financial Corp to TIAA in 2017, he served in various executive capacities, including chairman of EverBank.com, president of EverBank Direct, and chairman of EverBank Wealth Management. From 1981 through 1997, he served Mark Twain Banks in various capacities, including vice president of commercial lending, president Mark Twain International Markets. He is, of course, our good friend, Mr. Frank Trotter. Rick, Frank, take it away.
Thank you, Albert. Frank, perhaps you could begin by just giving our attendees an overview of what BattleBank, I should say BattleBank in organization, proposes to do for, first of all, depositors, IRA participants, and finally, who might our potential borrowers be, and why might they consider BattleBank rather than their incumbents?
Well, it sounds great. And thanks, Albert, for the introduction, and Rick, so great to see you again. You know, BattleBank is put together with a number of different things. Albert mentioned EverBank, and of course, we grew that from essentially zero up to $28 billion when we sold it. And feel we have a pretty good idea as a result of how to operate in the direct marketplace. Battle will be a direct-to-client. So our headquarter office is just down here in Edwards, Colorado. It's about a 12 by 12 office. But you know, all our clients will be coming to us nationally, both from the U.S. and from Canada. And I think that we have a great mix of things. We're not out there to seek every eyeball. We're not just doing one product like some of the neobanks out there today. We have a great mix of products for everyone, really. You know, our high yield cash account is very straightforward. Put your US dollars in, earn a high rate of interest, probably if it were open today, about 450. And you can use it as a checking account, write as many checks, do online bill pay, attach a debit card, or you could use it as a savings account. I think they function equally well together. But we really feel that people ought to have access to many more things than your traditional bank. I think you and I have said many times that, you know, we can't compete with JP Morgan Chase and they can't compete with us. We're doing businesses that they may consider too small, but our client or our target client considers absolutely essential. You know, germane to the discussion today, we'll be dealing in precious metals. You can buy, sell, store, or have delivered gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. We've been dealing in that market since the mid-1980s. And that will be an industry-leading cost for the client. You'll be able to deposit in foreign currencies. If you look at the US dollar, it's been pretty static in a lot of ways for the last 6 to 7 years. But you know, our viewpoint with the debt overhang and the change in the economic situation is you may want to diversify into these currencies. So these, a couple of quick things. And of course, our retirement services, we feel that you should be able to control what you do with your retirement money, your IRA, your solo 401k, and so on. And we have built something that some of our management team has been doing for many years. It allows you to do that, just that. If you want to have a multifamily property, perhaps take a loan out against it and leverage that and earn the cash flow. That's fantastic. And I think that on the borrowing side, one of our key elements, and I think, of course, it speaks very much to this this group, is that you'll be able to borrow against your precious metals holdings. We know so many people, and of course, one of your other guests, Lobo Tigre, has asked me a couple times, why would I ever want to borrow against my metals? Well, Lobo, I don't want to sell the metals. I want to be able to borrow against them, maintain my position in gold or silver, platinum, palladium, and so on. But if I need to put a new deck on, make an investment, reallocate cash to another use, I don't want to have to sell my gold. And we feel that being able to provide this to clients is very important. And we have had a number of people. We have over 11,000 people currently on our wait list. A high percentage of those had indicated that they have some need to borrow against physical metals. And you know, just one of the comments that just went by, this is physical metal. This is not paper metal. To the extent that we're holding metals in custody, it's actually in a vault, and Battle Bank will be maintaining that for you. And to the extent that you need to borrow against it, we're going to certainly take control of it, since it's a loan from us and you want us to be safe and sound. But it's very important for me to be able to do that. And I see a lot of comments rolling by, but I'll stop there and see what other direction we want to go. And I see one of the comments is get rid of my background screen, so I'll do that.
I'm less fussy, frankly, about the aesthetics, Frank. Let's go through your answers in order. First, the high-yield cash account. The last time I checked, my financial supermarket offered me 16 savings accounts. And from the best that I could decipher, only 9 of them proposed to pay me any interest whatsoever. Could you talk to me something about your basic savings/checking account, why you offer 1 as opposed to 16, and how that benefits me?
You know, it's a great question. It's something, of course, we hammer on often on LinkedIn and then any public appearance. Is the big box banks, I think, for checking, sort of on average, you're paying between 2 and 5 basis points. I do surveys periodically.
That's not percent, by the way. That's basis points, not percent. Those are hundredths of a percent.
0.02% to 0.05%. We've never, you know, at EverBank and certainly at Battle Bank, we've never understood why the big box banks want to take advantage of their clients like that. It leads to a sullen relationship. And we feel that by offering a great yield on the deposit and offering the ability to do all the different types of transactions, whether it's a direct deposit, you want to make an online bill pay, you want to link it to Venmo, Google Pay, Apple Pay, whatever, we're happy with that. And as I think as you look down the road, payments are going to change very rapidly in this electronic world. So we want a place for you to park your money, have full flexibility to use it, and you're going to earn a great yield of interest. And, I think 450 today, I think everybody would agree on a full service checking account. It's pretty spiffy. And if you go out and do any surveys yourself, 17 checking accounts. We had a friend that was a operations director of a bank that acquired banks left and right. They had 110 different checking programs that each of these little banks had. And he spent a career getting that down to 20. It still is confusing. And when I go on one of the big box bank sites, it takes me quite a while. First, of course, you have to put your zip code in because they have to know how little they can pay you in different markets. But then you have to go through 5 or 10 different accounts to even see what's available. And I think I'm fairly astute with banking, having been in it over 40 years, but I can't figure the darn things out. So I agree with you. Let's get it down to 1, pay value, and make it easy to use.
Let's move on to CDs. At your 2 prior incarnations, Mark Twain and then EverBank, you ran very effective deposit programs in foreign currencies. Describe, if you could, what currencies are available, and will these deposits be federally insured?
Yeah. Well, I'll start with the FDIC insurance, and that is yes. The FDIC does provide insurance against these non-dollar denominated deposits. It's accumulated with the rest of your $250,000 FDIC-insured amount. But yes, that's explicitly in the regulation. And of course, we're happy to provide that to anybody that wants to take a peek. But there are really 2 types of non-dollar deposits. 1 are money market deposits. And in both CDs and in money markets, we'll offer about 18 different currencies worldwide. Some of the obvious ones, of course, in the European countries, Canada, Mexico, and so on. But also South Pacific, China, and some of the other Asian countries. And on a more limited basis, something what we call non-deliverable currencies, where you can't move the money without a license. Places like Brazil and certain parts of China that are a little more difficult to move the money. But this allows you to diversify a broad portfolio, have gains if that currency gains against the U.S. dollar. And the other part of this, of course, is their CDs, which is 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, and 12 months. Fairly straightforward. They typically earn a slightly higher rate of interest, of course, depending on the yield curve at any given point in time. and emphasize that the interest is going to be very similar to what you could receive if you walked into a bank in that local jurisdiction or a local person, and probably a little bit more, frankly, because the big box banks all over the world seem to like to pay fewer interest to their clients. So often we end up having people wire money in from many jurisdictions to earn a little bit higher interest with us today. And of course, you can ask us to wire this money out. Maybe you want to pay for your hotel bill in Paris, or you're buying a farm in New Zealand. At one point in time, we actually were the location of choice for anybody that wanted to buy a glider out of Germany. We made millions and billions of dollars of marks initially, and then later euro wires to people who wanted to have that glider to sport around those aircraft.
Frank, let's move on to the IRAs. For most investors, sadly, their IRA seems to be a repository for financial products generated by large financial institutions. You have a different view of an IRA. You believe that your investor actually owns their own IRA. Tell me something about what investors might be able to invest in a checkbook IRA with Battlebank.
I'd be delighted to. You know, the checkbook IRA really gives you the flexibility back. You know, is there anything wrong with stocks, bonds, mutual funds at a Schwab, Fidelity, or local broker-dealer? No, probably not. But our clients really want to control their own investments. And so in a checkbook IRA, you could actually invest in anything, and you have to listen carefully to how the IRS says this, that is not ineligible. of course, they can't just come out and say it's eligible. So, you know, multifamily real estate, you know, some of the clients will probably want to invest in crypto. Maybe they want to make hard money loans. You know, there are rules around all of these things, and you have to be very careful with that. But we'll give you some education to allow you to make those decisions. And I think many of the people from our team's prior experience did the multifamily real estate, where they might buy one or more. You know, 1 to 4 family flats, there's income rolling off of that. And we can actually make a loan to that checkbook IRA, which is actually an LLC that's owned by the IRA, to allow you to leverage that up a little bit. So if you know, it's a little higher advance rate than if you came in without an exculpatory relationship, but it's really a great way to control your IRA money and put it into things that you really believe in, you know. Perhaps it's many of the things you're talking about on the seminar here today that wouldn't otherwise be available. So it's a great place to be, and it also works for a solo 401k.
And then finally, Frank, you know, I've talked for my whole career to people who are interested in precious metals and own precious metals. It's always amused me that what I consider to be superb collateral, physical precious metals, very liquid and really fairly stable in price, at least over the near term, hasn't been regarded as good collateral by the big banks. Tell me something about the proposed lending program that Battlebank would have available for segregated holders of physical gold, silver, platinum, or palladium.
Well, it's very straightforward, and we agree completely. I don't know how anybody else feels about a 15-second price update, but it seems pretty secure to me. And I compare that to, let's say, a home equity line of credit or other loans where it might take me 90 days just to get a foreclosure note out the door, let alone get the control of the property and sell it. But the process is fairly simple. Battlebank itself will be using excellent storage facilities like Brinks, Lomas, BMN, publicly traded companies with lots of insurance and people for whom there are independent audits available. So we will take that and segregate the metal, take control of it. It's a perfected lien, and then lend you the money against it up to 50% advance initially. And there'll be, of course, a margin call, not unlike a stock margin account, at about 75% to bring it down to 70. And to the extent that it ever gets above a 90% advance, that is the time when we will take control and sell that metal, no questions asked. That certainly has not occurred in the last 15 to 20 years. It's not that it's impossible. I don't think anybody on this call is likely to say that that's going to happen, but it could. And we feel that this really allows people to take control of, A, maintain their metals position, and also control their liquidity both ways. And you know, when you think about why other people aren't doing this, I think, you know, if you walked into your local bank and you had knew your banker for 10 years and you said, I've got 5 or 6 gold bars, they might lend you some money. But they're going to have to figure out where to put it. It's probably in their safe deposit box. They're going to have to figure out the documents. But we've, from the get-go, built the documentation, the process, and everything else to control this in a very appropriate way and make it easy for you to do. And hopefully we'll be able to do this through other metals dealers as well. So not only can you do it directly with Battle Bank, which we hope you do, but perhaps through some of your other favorite metals dealers down the road.
And Frank, let's be clear. This is about for precious metals that's in segregated storage. We aren't going to propose to lend to people who engage in backyard gardening, as an example. People who tell us they have the metal and they tell us it's physically located in their backyard. Could you tell our people what segregated storage is and talk a bit more about the selection criteria around the domiciles of the precious metals, the approved storage facilities?
Well, I think, you know, number one, certainly at the onset, we're doing publicly traded companies only. I think we've joked many times that a civil suit's a wonderful thing, but SEC is your friend when somebody tries to run off with your metals. So you want something that's policed heavily with an independent audit that's published on a regular basis. And it also allows us to go back to that facility and do our own audits if necessary. And I've been to a number of these places, and we always use the phrase, it looks like Fort Knox. Well, it does. There are, you know, metal doors that are thick. There are those mirrors underneath the trucks coming in. There are large caliber automatic weapons at the doors. There are shotgun doors. There are audit procedures. There are cameras everywhere. And it's a wonderful thing to see when you have metals that theoretically could be at risk in a backyard garden. To see all this care taken of it. So we are very strict about this. I know you and I were on a call with at least one Swiss depository. And when we asked to see the audit, they said, well, we don't do an audit. And we said, well, that's very nice. Thank you for the call. We'll give you back your time. You have to have a secure place that is well run, heavily insured. And also, again, initially, we're going to be using public companies.
Finally, Frank, and we only have a short time left, my wife, day before yesterday, was expressing frustration with our big box bank, and she said, would you tell Frank to get off his duff and get this bank open? How long do you suspect that it will be before we'll be able to provide all these wonderful services for people?
Well, our friends at the FDIC, and this is now a public item, have what they call accepted the application. Yeah, we might have thought that could have occurred more quickly, but that's okay. We're working our way through the process, and that's how this works. And that gives us sort of a timing range of sometime between May and August that we should be able to open the doors. You know, the technology, the people, the policies, procedures, and everything else are well underway and in place. We need final sign-off from a couple of our regulatory agencies. We have to finish our capital raise, and then we can open up the doors. So, there is light at the end of the tunnel now that our friends in the regulatory world have come back to us. And they gave us a wonderful Christmas present on the Friday before Christmas by providing that letter. And it made us all very excited. And I see a number of the comments over here on the side of my screen saying, when are you going to open? And I appreciate that.
Frank, thank you for your efforts on behalf of prospective customers of Battle Bank. Thank you, too, for your ongoing support of the investor education efforts at the Rural Classroom. We're delighted to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Rick.
All right, great. Frank, did the regulators happen to mention the year when they gave you the May to August?
There is some published data that suggests that I think between May and August should be a good.
Okay. You probably just answered 99 out of 100 questions right there, but no, we got other ones. Everyone wants to know where you're going to be open, but one question came in. Will you allow borrowing against holdings of Sprott Physical? PHY.
That's, as I said, we'll be talking to a number of the dealers. And certainly there are conversations underway with a number of the names that you know and love.
Hank, I think the question might have gone to, would you loan against shares in the Sprott Physical Trusts, which I suspect is probably covered by margin loans at other dealers.
Yeah, I think that's probably where that would occur. If you're already on a broker-dealer platform that allows margin, you could just use that probably just as effectively. I'd love to have you come over, but of course, it's probably easier for you to do it there.
Okay, Jacob asks, is it only for Americans or can Europeans also become clients of Battlebank?
Initially, we're going to have Canadians and U.S. citizens. There are regulatory issues, as you probably know, in the European Union that will take quite a while for us to work through. You always want to walk before you run. So Canada and the U.S. as we begin.
Okay. Regarding the Canadian clients, Frank, Mark asks, will Battlebank provide Canadian RDSP accounts?
Is that the retirement? Initially.
I'm not familiar with that one.
RRSP is the Registered Retirement Savings.
That's what I'm familiar with. Yeah, this is RDSP.
Not initially, no. Yeah, we're a U.S. institution, so we'd have to look and see if we can even do that.
Okay, let's see. Mark wants you to comment on the government bail-in policy now.
It's an interesting question. I think FDIC insurance, if you really look at it, has a bail-in component, and it always has. The way it works, of course, is they pay everybody out up to $250,000. And in rare cases, one of which I can think of, they say, well, everybody over 250 gets a portion of their money, and we'll see how the asset sales go and let you know when you're going to get the rest. We watched that occur in one of the 2008 banks that actually we had bid on initially and then passed for reasons that would become obvious if you saw their book. The FDIC paid out at that time, I guess it was $20,000, and then it was over, or excuse me, $100,000, and then eventually gave people 98% of their money back. So it's not the European bail-in style that I think is so much in the news. So FDIC's always had something like that. We feel, obviously, you want to have FDIC insurance or invest in a bank that you know has capital. And Battle is committed to having capital and being a very conservative lender. We're not out there slinging derivatives or anything to put risk into our book.
A question from Australia. Will you be taking deposits from Aussie citizens? And do the foreign currencies at Battlebank also include Australian dollars?
They do include Australian dollars, and at the onset, it's just going to be U.S. and Canada. I would think Australia would be a relatively fast follower, just based on the regulations we've known in the past. But that'll be up to the compliance team to figure out as we move along. But we'd love to have Australians. We had many at Everbank and at Mark Twain.
So Mario is looking forward to seeing you at the Rule Symposium in Boca Raton. Will he be disappointed, or will you be there?
I plan to be there. It's in my calendar. So I hope that actually is, if knock on wood here, we'll see if that's just a little after opening and we'll be there letting you sign up for the accounts online right then.
Okay. So Michael is asking about the Roth IRA precious metals accounts. Will those be available? And the precious metals go into Roth?
Yeah, you'll be able to invest in any of our product sets or most of our product sets through the IRA, whether it's Roth or regular IRA. And there's a couple ways you can do that. You can just have a regular IRA with Battlebank and invest in precious metals, or you can have a checkbook IRA, which has an LLC underneath it, and that LLC can invest in precious metals. So either way, yes.
Okay, Carl's asking about brokerage services. How can mining stocks be handled?
I'm sure you have a wonderful broker for mining stocks. We've decided not to be in the brokerage or wealth management business because there's some ideas we have down the road that we don't want to be conflicted with our future partners.
Okay. Bill is asking this question, not me, Frank. He's asking about capital raises. Is it still available to accredited investors?
My attorney is sitting on my shoulder here, and so I'll say
yes. That's why I said Bill asked, not me. I asked that question last time.
We can talk offline.
Sure. Okay, Mark clarifies, RDSP is the Registered Disability Savings Plan in Canada. Thank you for that.
Not initially, but we will take a look and see if it's possible for it to stop us. Thanks.
JB asks, what haircut do you apply to the physical gold collateral?
The initial advance is 50%. So if you have 100,000 of gold, you could borrow initially 50,000. Your actual line that you'll see on your piece of paper will be for 75,000 because that's 75% of the initial value of the gold. That allows you a little bit of room if gold moves from where it is today up to say 2,500 or 3,000 to borrow a little bit more. You could recast the loan. You know, to emphasize that at 75%, you will be asked for a margin call to bring it down to 70 or below.
Okay, and how's the borrowing rate calculated?
Current viewpoint is that it'd be 2.5 over prime, so it's just a floating rate that goes through time.
Okay. Let's see. Will Battle Bank allow Canadians to make bill payments to Canadian institutions? From Maurice, just a question about bill pay in Canada.
Not day one, but we're working on doing that through the Canadian accounts. You can obviously make a bill pay in U.S. dollars that way, but to make a Canadian payment will hopefully be a fast follower. Of course, there's electronic payments that you can link to your Battle Bank account that you could accomplish that with.
Okay. Comment from James. He says, has Battle Bank considered they are a major advocate for gold and silver ownership? In other words, would you foresee precious metals becoming more commonplace through its existence, through the existence of Battle Bank? Do you see yourself as a proponent?
I certainly hope so. We are an advocate. We've been a believer since time began. Through both Everbank and Mark Twain Banks, we dealt in precious metals. Many of our clients were holders, and most of us are precious metals holders ourselves. And many of the conferences we've attended over the last 40 years, we have been a strong advocate for precious metals. I think what's the current penetration rates? What, 2% of the U.S. market? And just think about it going to 5%, which it seems like it would be appropriate. I think that would be fabulous, and of course that would have a strong impact on price.
Is it 2? I thought it was 1.
Actually, at risk of upstaging my partner, the current market share of precious metals and precious metals investments in the United States is 0.5%, which is to say 0.5% of the total value of savings and investment assets in the United States is denominated in precious metals. The 40-year mean was 2%, and it is estimated by J.P. Morgan Chase that the market share in 1981, which was the sort of nadir, was approaching 6%. So I think the point that both Frank and I have tried to make is that if precious metals return to the 4-decade mean, that demand for precious metals would quadruple. I don't think that we need to make any comparison to the high market share in 1981 because we don't need 6% market share to make our point.
I think if you look at stocks, of course, have run so far recently that's driven the percentage down without...
That's what I was going to say, yeah. Right. How much of it is just that gold not keeping up with equities and other...
I wish I knew, but I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see if we can find a data analyst to wants to think about that.
Let's see. Scott asks, please comment on, quote, the great taking.
Help me out a little bit there. I know that I've seen the term a number of times, so.
I was hoping you would know, Rick.
The Great Taking is a piece of work I'm familiar with but have not read. I think that the Great Taking probably refers to the march of law, which would suggest that the Fed and others have made more available to them through, quote, legal methods, the ability to affect things like bail-ins in the event of a financial catastrophe. I need to say that I'm probably less concerned about those disaster scenarios than I am personally the allocation of capital by banks to lenders in a thousand different businesses, most of which they don't understand, or their ability to attract deposits from people like myself, although not myself, that don't pay interest, or their proclivity for running up literally trillions of dollars of derivative obligations on balance sheets that I suggest aren't necessarily able to handle it. I'm much less concerned about what banks or governments might be able to do to me hypothetically than I am about what they absolutely positively do to me every day right now.
Okay, let's see. Larry asks, will Battle Bank contemplate leasing depositor gold and silver deals in order to earn money from the otherwise non-income producing assets?
No.
I think that's the right answer.
No. That's not my goal. Yeah. And this is held not as an asset of Battle Bank. This is held as held for client accounts. It's a very important distinction in terms of ownership rights.
And it's not going to be held by Battle Bank, is it?
No. Obviously, we'll have a small position just to be able to fulfill customer trades in and out. But the actual custody is held on behalf of clients, not on behalf of Battle Bank.
Okay. Bill is asking for your contact information, Frank. Where can people contact you if they have questions?
You always cringe when you give your personal email out on a large conference, but it's FOT@battlebank.com is the easiest way. You can come to our website, battlebank.com. We'd love it if you'd sign up for the wait list. We have a robust group there, and we communicate with people once or twice a month, either with updates or with questions. And many of our waitlist people have been helping us to design some of our products by commenting. But I do see the book there, Bill. Thank you. So that's how they get a hold of me, FOT@battlebank.com. And battlebank.com also has a way to just have a comment or ask a question.
Okay, and we actually want to know your exact location, Frank. It looks like you're in a lovely place.
Today, you know, Battle Bank's headquarters is in Eagle County, Colorado. It's behind me right here. Edwards literally is the city. You can see, it looks like, I'm just looking at my screen here, a couple of the runs on Beaver Creek Mountain. We got about 9 inches of snow last night, which is just what the doctor ordered. And we may have to get out and experiment with some of that snow tomorrow on the mountain.
Sounds good. We're going to have to leave it there, Frank, but thank you for a great interview and for answering all of these questions from our viewers, and also your sponsorship. Much appreciated, and I look forward to seeing you at the next event.
Sounds great, Albert, and thanks so much to both you and Rick.